Glorious to the sum of devotees. Shri Krishna Sankirtan Ki Jai. Sudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, the beautiful story of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in Canto 10, in Chapter 60, and Text 36. Tvatpara padma makaranda jushamuninam.
Tvatpara padma makaranda jushamuninam.
Vartmasputam nirpashubir nanudur vibhavyam.
Vartmasputam nirpashubir nanudur vibhavyam.
Yasmad alaukikam ivehitam ishvarasya.
Yasmad alaukikam ivehitam ishvarasya.
Bhumamstavehitam ato anuye bhavantam. Tvatara padma makaranda jusham muninam.
Tvatara padma makaranda jusham muninam.
Vardmas putam nirpashubir nanudur vibhavyam.
Vardmas putam nirpashubir nanudur vibhavyam.
Yasmad alaukikam ivehitam ishvarasya. Bhumastavehitam ato anuye bhavantam.
Bhumastavehitam ato anuye bhavantam.
Please chant. Your pada of the feet, padma, lotus-like, makaranda, the honey, jusham, who relish, muninam, for sages, vartma, your path, asputam, not apparent, nri, in human form, pashubhi, by animals. Nanu. Certainly. Then. Durvi bhavyam. Impossible to comprehend. Yasmat. Because. Alaukikam. Supramundane. Iva. As if. Ihitam. The activities. Ishvarasya. Of the Supreme Lord. Bhuman. O all-powerful one. Tava. Your. Ihitam. Activities. Atau. Therefore. Anu. Following. Ye. Who. Bhavantam. You. Translation. Your movements, inscrutable even for sages, who relish the honey of your lotus feet, are certainly incomprehensible for human beings who behave like animals. And just as your activities are transcendental, O all-powerful Lord, so too are those of your followers. Purport. Here, Queen Rukmini replies to Lord Krishna's statement in text 13, Aspastavartmanam pumsham aloka patam iyusham astita Paravin Subru Prayaksid Anti Yoshitaha. O fine browed lady, women are usually destined to suffer When they stay with men, his behavior is uncertain, and he'll pursue a path not approved by society. In the present verse, Rukmini is taking the term alokapattam to mean unworldly path. Those who are entangled in worldly behavior are trying to enjoy this world more or less like animals. Even if such people are culturally advanced, they should simply be considered sophisticated or polished animals. Srimati Rukmini Devi points out that because the Lord's activities are always transcendental, they are aspasta, or unclear, to ordinary people. And even the sages trying to know the Lord cannot perfectly understand these activities. So Srila Prabhupada, many, many times in his preaching, he called pretty much the bulk of society as animalistic, or animals, due to their diving after sense gratification, that's all. So he was very bold, just as we read just a second ago how bold he was to these Indians. In the same way, no matter what circumstance, sometimes in a conversation with just a few people in the room or with reporters in public, whatever, he would call them animals, something that we don't usually do, but he could. Dvipadapashu, he would say. He said, two-legged animals. Or sometimes he would maybe make a step up and say, dressed animals. But he was very bold in accusing this so-called human race as less intelligent, with really no discretion whatsoever. It's described that when one falls into the circumstance of being lusty and being attached to sense gratification, that you become bewildered and you lose your intelligence, and then you fall down. So rightly said that that the so-called polished animals really don't know what to do and what not to do. They simply have their nose to the ground. Sometimes I'm really embarrassed to even be called a human being, because when I see other human beings, they just look like dogs. Or they're just following their senses right along the ground to this object and to that object. No discretion whatsoever. But these people, even the most polished ones, let's say the scientists or the upper class or even the so-called religious human beings, they have actually sometimes they don't even respect God. They push God aside, or they have a means of limiting the unlimited. And they call him mundane, especially Krishna. When they get to Krishna and Krishna's behavior is a little dubious sometimes, they just mark him off as unacceptable, or immoral. But when you think about it, as it's describing here, they're such a degraded position themselves. How do they have the audacity to actually put limits on Krishna or say that he's not qualified to be God? So we have to become very, very proud of ourselves being devotees of Krishna. Here, there's no problem. The sages and Rukmini, the pure devotees, they don't have a problem when Krishna's activities are a little bit questionable. Actually, Rukmini here, her heart is so sold out that she can take the negative and turn it to positive. So it's because they're convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that he is the greatest, that he's all good, no matter what he does. It's sometimes we're called brainwashed, and that we're blind, that we don't really see this misbehavior of Krishna or the really outrageous things that are described in the scripture about Krishna. But it's true, we have a blind spot. We see everything is all good for Krishna, and they're the ones that are blind. They're Their whole consciousness is so covered over with these animal propensities that they have really no qualification to understand that Krishna is so great. The brains are not being used properly. Plus, they don't understand that all these activities are actually such exalted activities on a level of reciprocation of eternal love with his devotees. Whatever you can think of that Krishna has done is always just to increase that relationship, that lost relationship with his devotees. So Rukmini, she totally qualified. Her heart is completely pure. But we see the materialists, their main disqualification is that they're envious of Krishna. That's all. Many of my relatives can't accept Krishna because they're still envious. They're envious that of Srila Prabhupada even, and of Krishna. That it's like a stem cell that is planted in ourselves, this envy, the minute we left Krishna. And every lifetime it multiplies and multiplies. So every lifetime we have, seems like more and more envy. I don't know if you've ever done any experiments, but in high school we'd get these little petri dishes and put a little bacteria in there, and would start foaming up in a few days, and then would like bubble over and look like some strange monster. But this envy turns into a monstrous thing within ourselves. It completely clouds over our consciousness. It makes us see that only ourselves are great, that actually there's a fault in everybody else except for me. And so then you're alone. You're alone with you. And no, you can't be with Krishna anymore. So what less understand Krishna, you're actually completely separated from him until you actually get cured of that disease. And of course that cure is devotional service. And especially the chanting of the glories of Krishna. Actually, instead of chanting our glories, we begin to realize that if I just glorify Krishna, if I please him, then you allow a little bit of understanding of his greatness. We had a Chaitanya Charitamrita class the other night, and we're in the part where Lord Chaitanya is actually preaching to Sanatana Goswami. He's describing Lord Brahma's bewilderment. And there were some pretty outrageous things that are described of what Brahma saw when Krishna played all these tricks on him. And this was one that was really like, all of our minds were like, wow, how are we ever going to understand this? It says, the breadth of every Vaikuntha planet is described as 8 miles multiplied by 100, by 1,000, by 10,000, by 100,000, by 10 million. In other words, each Vaikuntha planet is expanded beyond our ability to measure. And it goes on to describe more about the spiritual world and what's going on there and how completely unlimited it is. And then Lord Brahma says, I don't understand this. And he's the one that has created all these universes and everything else. So we can understand that that we have very teeny tiny brains. And even Lord Brahma with his big, many, many, many brains, he's having a hard time, so we can feel a little bit better. We should understand that especially the animalistic people, they're not going to understand these wonderful qualities of Krishna, and especially the ones that are beyond their mundane conception. But this is the answer to that. It says, Lord Brahma says that we do not hear of such wonderful things anywhere else. Simply by one's hearing of those incidents, one's consciousness is agitated and cleansed. So this chanting of the holy names, it's cleansing. Cleansing, I mean, you know, you get out the comet, the stuff that has the little grains in it, like the pumice type stuff, you know. You get this gojo, you can get it with the pumice in it. Agitates, but it really does a good job cleaning. So this devotional servant, especially the chanting of the names, it agitates. By hearing Krishna's glories, it agitates our hearts and our mind and cleanses it to the point where our hearts become a little softened. I don't know, maybe some of you aren't old enough to remember, but there used to be a thing, an advertisement on TV of the little Pillsbury Doughboy. And they would, they push your finger in the stomach, and it would just go, you know, like this. He was really cute, and he'd push it because the dough got so soft. And so in the same way, this chanting of Hare Krishna, it actually begins to make our heart pliable so that all these wonderful pastimes of Krishna begin to just make impressions in our hearts so that we never forget him. And so that we can be, you know, on the path of becoming a little pure, like Rukmini is displaying here, completely sold out on Krishna. No questions asked on Krishna's behavior. And she's so absorbed in Krishna that even the worst thing said, she can twist around. Of course, Krishna's relishing this. For some reason, Krishna just loves this play on words. Is it called rhetoric? I don't know. But anyway, just play on words. In all regards, he just relishes it. So here, we're enjoying this pastime, too. It's making impressions on our heart of how wonderful Krishna really is. But our hearts aren't really sold out. They're not pure yet. And sometimes we have a hard time trying to understand, you know, all these qualities. It might even be a few little doubts. But one thing is for sure, and that is that our hearts are sold out to his representative, Srila Prabhupada. I was sitting over there. I ran in when we were having the preparations for the feast, and they showed that little two-minute trailer of Srila Prabhupada and of the upcoming events of getting to see all these pastimes of Prabhupada. And I was sitting next to me, and everyone around me, second generation, third generation, they all had tears in their eyes. I mean, one was actually practically bawling. Because we have the experience of what it's like to have so much love for such a great personality as Srila Prabhupada, who is representing Krishna. Actually, love means trust. You can't love someone if you don't trust them. There's just no way. You could turn your back on them at any minute. In the same way, we have unalloyed love for Srila Prabhupada. And this is what we're hoping to establish for the whole world in this upcoming 50th anniversary. We really need to think hard. Each one of us should be thinking how we can, give this understanding and of Prabhupada to the world, of the greatness of him. I mean, just in 2 minutes, I mean, I don't know about you, but I was very much moved, right? It is really wonderful, of all the ecstatic things that he did. And that brings us to this last part of the verse. It says, and just as your activities are transcendental, all-powerful Lord, so too are those of your followers. And so Srila Prabhupada is a perfect example of this. You can't glorify him enough. On the same level as Krishna. Because his only business is to give Krishna back to, give us back to Krishna. If you ever go into Walmart and places like that, they have these big bulletin boards of missing persons, right? And you get rewards if you see them and everything like that. So in the same way, Prabhupada, he gets all the rewards. He is rediscovered so many missing persons. That's his whole vision was, wow, you're lost. Here, Krishna, putting us back together with Krishna again. And that was his only business. And therefore, we understood we could trust him because he didn't want anything for himself. His only reward was that he pleased Krishna. And if he had any glorification, he simply transferred to his spiritual master. This is my guru's glory. I have done nothing. I'm simply trying to fulfill his desire. In the same way, if we want to become true followers of Krishna, we have to follow Srila Prabhupada and follow his followers. And that means strictly following and being totally dedicated to his mood. just as Prabhupada was dedicated to his mood, distributing books, distributing Krishna consciousness to everyone, making the whole world happy. That was Prabhupada's goal. Somehow or other, I want everyone to be happy on this planet. And so he had a plan, and he told us his plan, how to do it. So we have our business, set out for us. So we can see that on our calendars every week, especially in the last couple of weeks, how many followers did we get to glorify their activities, right? They're totally glorifiable. Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, so many. I mean, every week, there's so many in our line. We should feel so confident that we're on the best path. But all these have such wonderful qualifications. But everyone in this room, everyone in this community, anyone who's serving Krishna, I'm sure you could turn around and glorify all these devotees, right? Yeah, I'm not going to let you because you'll go on forever. But it's actually a lot of ecstasy to get together and to start glorifying. Of course, it's not nice to be in the room when you're glorified, but it's really fun to glorify people. And because we're following Srila Prabhupada, those transcendental qualities are coming about in his followers. So we should take an opportunity whenever we can to glorify the devotees. I know this book, Jamuna, is such a wonderful chance to glorify such an important devotee, so qualified as a Vaishnava. Unfortunately, we don't usually get around to appreciate these devotees till they're dead and gone. It's really, really crazy. But anyway, we should also understand that we have to display this Vaishnava behavior. It's we have to become a real true follower. We have to have this Vaishnava behavior. And so we were talking about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's glories the other day. And at a program the other day, I got to speak a little bit about him. But mainly, I just quote a couple things from his song. He didn't really leave a lot of songs, but this one song Prabhupada really loved to sing. It's called Dushtaman. And it's it means Vaishnava ke? Who is really a Vaishnav? And so we should do a lot of internal looking into ourselves, our qualities, and see what kind of Vaishnav are we and how far we have to go and the things that we have to do to become great followers. And the last couple of verses are really nice. Mainly he's talking about those who go in solitary and chant and become Babaji's, but they're doing nonsense. But they're thinking that they're so glorious because they live and chant by themselves where no one can see that they're also doing nonsense. So this is also very sweet that he says, ever engage yourself in the service of Sri Radha and keep aloof from the vicious snake of materialistic sense gratification. The glory of participating in the Lord's kirtan is not meant to bolster anyone's ambitions for personal recognition. O mind, why then have you abandoned the identity of being Radha's eternal servant in favor of retiring to a solitary place to practice the cheating process of so-called bhajan? So this kirtan is a way to get rid of this material sense gratification, this animalistic habits that we have. He says, the most valuable treasures amongst the Lord's preachers are the eternal personalities residing in the Brajadham. They never occupied themselves with begging for worthless material reputation, which is cherished only by the living dead. The Brajabasis are truly infused with life, and therefore they preach in order to give life to the walking corpses of the mundane world. All the songs that Brajabasis sing about the glories of Lord Krishna are devoid of any tinge of desire for fame. So this kind of summarizes what this verse is saying, that this animalistic behavior and wanting fame and things like that has to be dissipated, and it can by kirtan and by preaching the glories to others. As he says here, the devotee sees those walking corpses. Do you ever feel like that on sankirtan? This guy's dead, you know? I don't know how he's doing what he's doing. He's just dead. There's not a bit of life in him. And so therefore he'd try to stick a sucker in his mouth or something to give him life again. So this is the duty of the followers, of the devotees. And so it's the most wonderful pleasure you get is to actually see these personalities come to life again. I was at a program the other day, and two of the newest recruits from Amrita Kaili's preaching at the college in UNF came to the program. And young, very young people, but they were had smiles on their faces, and they were so enlivened to have come in contact. They're like brand new, but they were just like so blissful. The guy was almost crying. He was asking questions, crying. You know, he says, "I just love this." And he said, "But he had problems because his parents are Baptists, so he didn't know exactly what to do about it." And he says, "I don't know what's going to happen because my mother picked up my phone and he showed me the phone and it has a picture of baby Krishna on it when you open it up." So you can see that even new, he didn't have a problem with that God is a little baby and he's blue and cute and he's like, you know, he didn't have a problem because his heart is already sold out on Krishna. And to see these personalities come alive and to take to Krishna consciousness is just so wonderful. So you can imagine when Prabhupada, you know, saw all the hippies and all of us little funny animals dancing, that he was pleased. So this is our goal, to somehow or other shed our animal propensities, to get rid of them all, so that, well, Prabhupada said we should get rid of them to the point of nil. That's a big high jump, but anyway, we have to minimize them so that we can allow Krishna to give us some more understanding of him, just as Chaitanya Charitamrita said, agitate and to cleanse and to allow that realization of Krishna to flow within our hearts. But it's not that easy. We've been given such a superior knowledge, and to take it all in and to get rid of all the doubts, it does take some time. But we find that if one sticks to the simple process that Prabhupada has given, then it will all act in time, and we'll be able to actually see these animal qualities go away little by little. I think it's Narottam Das Thakur that sings Paramakarana, who we glorified also last week. And he, in the purport of that song, it describes how Lord Chaitanya would get the animals to dance. And it says, why can't we, at least we can get some humans to dance. So that should be our objective. There's a great opportunity coming up. I don't know if anyone can take out the time, but on Friday night at the University of North Florida in Jacksonville, they've arranged for a 4-hour kirtan mela. And if you want to come see all these people come alive and dancing like little animals again, it's going to be really nice. They're expecting at least 200 of the students to come by and take part in the chanting. And I'm going to try to sell some japa kits, because I know that boy, he immediately took it up and said yes, he promised to chant. But this is this kirtan is really our saving grace, because we do set that high standard, but we have a tendency, our animistic tendency is to lower it, and even amongst our youth and things like that. I know in the Gurukula we would give the highest standard, but knowing that they would probably go a little lower, and we find in ourselves too, even as, you know, followers of Srila Prabhupada, he gave such a high standard, but because of those animalistic propensities, we have a tendency to go a little notch lower. But we have to be real careful that our standard in ISKCON does not begin to incorporate those standards as our actual standard. Prabhupada gave the standard. If we want that agitation, we want that cleansing to happen, we need to keep that standard up. Even with our movement, I mean, even, you know, young people living together before they get married, it's become pretty much accepted in ISKCON, you know. I mean, you know, it's just the way it is these days, right? And that's the way it is in ISKCON. No, it's not the way. So many different things, you know, the standard of loose association and dressing this way and that way, becoming accepted. We have to be so careful that it doesn't become the standard within ISKCON. If we want the purity and to have pure followers continue on this movement. So we have to somehow or other set the example and preach to ourselves and try to keep Srila Prabhupada very happy that we're moving on this this Krishna consciousness to engulf the world and to make them all happy, because this is what he wanted. And we can't be happy unless we're really purely engaged in Krishna service. So these are a few thoughts. Maybe y'all would like to add something? Or if you have any questions? Or any ideas how we can keep this standard up so that the purity of this movement is in the pure and the potency is still there, so that when one engages in Krishna consciousness, they feel, yes, now I'm actually utilizing this human form of life properly. And ultimately, I will, with Prabhupada's grace, understand the glories of Krishna. Back then.
Hare Bol. As you have mentioned that we need to keep up the pure standard that Srila Prabhupada set for us, but I mean, you can really only preach by example, isn't it? So it's a real responsibility for everybody then who has taken up the process many, many years ago, that they somehow or other find a means to, you know, at least remember this should be the standard. I'm not there, but at least in the heart, know that this is really it. And I know how difficult it is. And we always need the encouragement of those that are more advanced.
We have to set the standard. And you say those have accepted the process. So we have to make sure that we're preaching that we need to accept all of the process. We can't leave out anything. That purity is coming from following Prabhupada's instructions. So we always have to remind ourselves of Prabhupada's instructions, and that means the hearing process, hearing, encouraging people to come hear the classes and read Prabhupada's books so that we're constantly remembering. Otherwise, it's so easy to forget, you know, forget what we're supposed to be doing and then forget what Prabhupada actually wanted of us. And I think some of the younger generation, although this kirtan is saving them, is the purifying process, there is also hearing of the Bhagavatam and hearing of class and hearing of japa that goes along with it. I think all those things are important. I think there's a lacking in some of that, of the hearing. So it's a full program. You know, we need to do the whole thing. Ramasmi has the microphone.
Very, very nice class. What I've observed over the years, in the Mayapur Institute, when second generation youth come and they may not be so inspired, you know, to have a strict standard or to dedicate themselves to pushing on Prabhupada's movement, but when they go through Bhakti Shastri, they plug into Prabhupada in a way that's like remarkable. Mm-hmm. And they come out the other side quite transformed. And willing to, not only willing, but eager to kind of go with the flow that Prabhupada established and maintain it.
It's a concentrated hearing.
Yeah.
It goes really, very deep. That's really nice.
Really works.
Nice service. Yeah. There's a funny thing I read on the Facebook the other day. It was saying that, I guess they're making a little bit of advancement to get off of their animal platform, that Sweden has now recognized that animals are sentient beings. Congratulations, right? And New Zealand is considering that animals are sentient beings too. The government might announce that they're... this is like, you know, duh. The governments, you know, I think the Vedas need... they propound that, you know, that human beings, are they sentient beings? According to this, they're not even sentient beings. The humans are animals, so... yeah, everything's a little scrambled in this age, so I guess we give them a little credit. I don't know what will come out of that. I don't know if they'll realize that cows are animals. Hopefully, little by little. Yes, I think.
Talking about the standards, I was just watching the videos about following Srila Prabhupada recently a lot. And one thing that I guess is very obvious is that, you know, hearing from all these devotees talking about Srila Prabhupada who met him, is that everybody was so deeply touched by his love. And of course, I mean, nobody can imitate Srila Prabhupada. He was that exalted platform. But that's just a feeling I have that, you know, if you pound on people that, you know, you have these rules and you have to follow them, but people don't feel the love, then there is a rebellion. And that's what I feel, that the reason why Srila Prabhupada got everybody to do what they were doing for him is because they just felt that immense love that they never felt from anybody else. So I don't know, but I feel like, you know, because we sometimes maybe fall short of that in ISKCON nowadays because we don't have that capacity. So to me, it seems like that has to be the priority, that we have to somehow try to express the love that we hopefully feel when, you know, when we chant Hare Krishna, and then people will be inspired to follow.
And that love is churned with compassion. If you actually have compassion for someone, then your tendency to love is more. So... Papa was very compassionate, and he spread it very nicely. So if they're attracted to Srila Prabhupada's love, then we have to introduce them to Prabhupada. That's why we really need to introduce the world to Prabhupada, so they can see what real love is. Yes, we fail with our love. I think the more if we went out and just tried to distribute Krishna consciousness, that love, that compassion, love would increase more. If we actually realize that that person is a missing person, I got to help that person. And all works together. And she wanted to say something.
You were discussing keeping up the high standard that Srila Prabhupada set for us. And I think it's... I just had a thought that... Prabhupada wanted us all to be leaders in Krishna consciousness and to help the conditioned souls, and especially those that are in position of authority within ISKCON. But for everybody, I like the old adage that you can, to make a good leader, you have to be a good follower. So we all have to keep the bar, the Prabhupada standard, to be able to execute those orders. Otherwise, we can, lose potency. Right. And it says to benefit everybody. That was my thought.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.